Welcome to the Herding Cats Podcast. We are a podcast for children's pastors by children's pastors. Here is your host, Todd Hixenbaugh.
Well, hey, everyone, and welcome to the Herding Cats Podcast. You just heard the talking voice introducing me. I am your host, Todd Hixenbaugh. Hey, I am so glad to be able to be with you. It's my honor and privilege to be able to bring you episodes every week talking about everything family and kid ministry related. And this is no different. I'm thrilled about this interview. So I just wanted to tell you a little bit about what I'm doing. I have a couple of episodes I'm going to release. So this podcast, the Herding Cats Podcast, was actually not my first attempt at putting together a children's ministry, family ministry podcast. I had actually, in the fall of 2017, going into the spring of 2018, I had actually attempted the same thing. Really worked to try to put something together. And, you know, I changed jobs and things just didn't quite, it wasn't that it failed, it just wasn't the right timing for me. I just couldn't manage all of the time constraints. I couldn't manage all of the new things all at once while also trying to effectively run a podcast. I mean, these things, they take a lot of time to do. And so, but I thought it would just be a shame to let these podcasts go to waste. And so what I'm going to do is I'm releasing these episodes as part of the Herding Cats Podcast. They are all great interviews with some great people. And today I'm so excited to be able to introduce Adam Weber. Now, Adam is the lead pastor at a church called Embrace Church. It is all over the place. They have tons of locations, but it's generally located in North and South Dakota. This is a great church. Adam wrote a book about prayer for families. And so this episode, I'm really focusing on prayer and how families can and be very intentional about bringing prayer into different moments throughout the day for their kids, as well as, you know, how can we teach our kids to pray better? And so this is an episode that you're definitely going to want to forward to parents. You're definitely going to want to forward it to even parents in your life. And you'll probably, like some people have, they've referred to this episode several times just for themselves as a parent. And so Adam's a great guy. If you want to check out more stuff about him, you can check the show notes. The church's website will be there, as well as all of his social media. Great pastor, great conversation. Let's jump into that right now.
Well, hey, we are so glad to have Adam Weber on the podcast today. Hey, Adam.
Hey, Todd. How's it going? I'm so excited and truly thrilled to be on with you today.
Awesome. So, Adam, can you tell us just a little bit about yourself? You're a pastor there in Sioux Falls. Can you just tell us a little bit about yourself, your background, just a little bit about you?
Yeah, so I'm born and raised from South Dakota, originally from the northeast part of the state. Went to college in Sioux Falls with a business marketing degree. Somehow ended up filling in for a pastor the summer before my senior year of college, which led to me finishing college and then getting my master's of divinity. Never wanted to start a church. Ended up coming back to Sioux Falls, started a church. We're 11 years old. I never thought I could love a church so much. The church is called Embrace. We have 5 campuses, 6 with our online campus. I'm married to my wife, Becky. We have 4 kids. I still don't know how I have 4 kids, but I do. And I'm just grateful to be used by God somehow, some way. So I always say in the Old Testament, God spoke through a donkey. Maybe he can do it again. And so that's the story of my life.
I love that. I love that. You do all sorts of stuff. You've kind of traveled the speaking circuit, and you've been on all the podcasts and all of that. And you just recently written a book, and that's one of the things I really wanted to talk with you about today. It's a book about prayer. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah. So the book is called "Talking with God: What to Say, What to Pray When You Don't Know What to Say." And I never honestly wanted to write a book, so it was a friend of mine. This, again, kind of the story of my life. It was a friend of mine seeing something in me that I didn't see in myself. Mm-hmm. And so he really encouraged me to write. And just said, gosh, I really think you should write. I really think you should write. And we connected and he said, what do you think you would write a book about? And I said, honestly, I think I would write something around prayer if I ever wrote. I didn't want to, but he kind of cornered me. And so I said, I think I'd write something around prayer. And he said, actually, that's exactly what I was going to tell you. He said, often, Adam, you tweet in prayers and you post about prayers. And oftentimes, even after we connect for coffee, you'll write me a letter, a note. I have a typewriter that I type all my notes on. And often you'll include a prayer at the end of it. And so that's one thing kind of led to the next. And I ended up writing the book. And for me, prayer was something I grew up kind of reciting prayers since the womb. But I honestly didn't know what prayer really was as far as a conversational end of things until later on in high school. And even right now, I'm 35 years old, and I don't know what I would do without prayer and being able to speak with God. I mean, I'm so needy and dependent on Jesus on a minute-to-minute basis. And so what an awesome, wonderful privilege that we have to approach God and speak with him. I mean, so my hope was just that I could help kind of maybe lead the way and show others what prayer looks like for the person who doesn't know how to pray to the person who's been following Jesus for years and has maybe gotten stuck into a rut in their prayer life. So that's where it came from.
Sure. And so for this podcast, we focus on children's ministry, on kid influencers and all that. So, you know, if you're listening today, you might be wondering, well, why the heck am I talking with Adam about prayer? And believe it or not, children can pray too.
Yeah.
Who knew? And so, Adam, really what I wanted to talk with you about today is as kid influencers, how we can partner with families and how we can begin to have conversations in the household with kids about prayer. But what I wanted to first start with is it really starts with us, the pastors, the people in the church, volunteers and stuff like that. So I wanted to start the conversation with you about prayer with this. And so the question is, how can we within the church begin to initiate conversations about prayer, both with adults, so the parents, as well as with kids? And that's volunteers, children's pastors, whatever. How can we begin to do that?
Yeah, I think honestly, a lot of parents and people in general struggle with prayer. It's one of those things that you hear so much about, but you may not know how to do so, or you might be really insecure about praying, especially out loud with your kids. And so I think the first part as the church is just really starting with kind of teaching people what prayer is and how to do it, and just helping people realize, mom and dad specifically, it doesn't have to be extravagant. You can keep it simple. You do not have to have all the answers, and you don't have to have the Bible memorized before you can begin to pray. And so just showing people, this is even in my messages a lot of times, I'll include like simple prayers for people even to say. And so it's like, you know, I'm talking about this. And so maybe it's just crying out. We talked about joy this last Sunday. And so maybe it's just so I'll audibly, as I'm talking, we'll kind of be praying. And so, Jesus, I just need your joy in my life. And God, I have no joy. And so that's why I need yours. And so I'll give examples of what I would pray for people to hear. Just beginning to model it for mom and dad. And to help them realize they can keep it simple and they don't have to have it figured out, that they can speak from the heart in their own prayer lives. And even for their kids, they can do that same thing. That it's okay if you don't have all the words figured out and you stumble over your words a little bit, just whatever's inside you, just speak from the heart. And so helping them to grow in their own prayer life, I think, is the first step. Again, just kind of educating them just on prayer, but also just showing them what prayer looks like. And so maybe for a kids team on Sunday mornings, it might be as simple as, hey, we're going to have a prayer time before all the kids show up for the day, before this first service begins. And so don't feel any pressure to pray, but we're just going to spend like 5 minutes praying for the kids that come. And so even them seeing that in a huddle before the first service starts, that might be the very first time that they've ever been in a group setting where someone has audibly prayed before. And so just, wow, I can do that. And maybe the first few weeks they're just seeing it and hearing it. And then on week five, they begin to say something themselves. And if they have the courage with a group of adults, maybe they then will have the courage with their kids.
Sure. And that brings up an interesting point that I wanted to kind of dive in with you about, which is volunteers, and it's also people within the church, because it does. It starts with the adults. How can we, as children's pastors or people who are in charge of some volunteers who are working with the kids in church, how can we encourage our volunteers, people who are working with the kids in their prayer life? What can we be doing to help them?
Wow.
And for ourselves too, by the way, also. That's also goes for us. Like, how can we improve our prayer lives?
Man, there's so much I could say. It might be as simple as, and I would say this about any area, it might be as simple as the education piece. Maybe there's a devotional that you subscribe to, and there's a great devotional on prayer. And so it's just forwarding on to your volunteers of saying, gosh, I read this about prayer. This was really powerful. So just giving them some tools. Man, this podcast I listened to on prayer, I'd encourage you to listen in on that. So it might be as simple as just kind of giving them some little things here and there. Again, just that modeling piece, just kind of showing them what prayer can look like for it. And maybe your huddle, I'm putting that in quotes, is just you and one other person. You got a small church, and so there's just you and two other volunteers. And so it's just three people before that first service, and just having that time of praying, and maybe just, hey, is there something that I can pray for the both of you today? Are you nervous about the kids coming in? Is there anything? Yes, I'm kind of worried about this. Okay, let's pray for that. And then basically what they do is they end up doing that same thing with the kids and students themselves. So they've seen you do that with them, and now they're able to do that with the kids. And so in their room, there's five kids maybe. And so, gosh, does anybody have anything you want to pray for today? Anything that you're worried about? Yeah, I'm worried about, I have a test coming up this week. I mean, it might be something super simple. I'm scared at recess. I don't know who to play with. Okay, we're just gonna take our time to pray for that. And then once you establish relationship and there's that comfort level, hey, with the volunteers, again, those three people in the morning, would one of you want to pray for the other two of us today? Would you want to pray? And then all of a sudden they step out of their boat. And again, then when that volunteer goes and meets with the kids, hey, would one of you kids want to pray for us today? I think there's something powerful about for our kids when they realize that they can even pray for adults. And it's not like adults are all knowing and we have everything figured out. That's something we've modeled in our own house. Oftentimes I'll ask one of my kids to pray for mom or dad, or I'll ask, hey, Hudson, would you mind praying for Wilson? I'll ask them to pray for each other. And there's something powerful about that of like, whoa. I can pray for dad? Like, I can pray. I can lead the prayer? No way. And I think that's a step of helping them take steps as well.
I often talk about that with some of my volunteers is, you know, I think oftentimes we think of kids as being like this whole other subgenre of humans. But actually,
yeah,
they're just miniature adults, right? They're just miniature adults. And we're teaching them how to be grown-ups eventually.
My oldest son, Hudson, is definitely a work in progress, nothing figured out, yada, yada. But his prayer life is something powerful. Mm-hmm. And when he's prayed a couple different times for anytime we have – one of the things that we model in our family is anytime someone has a birthday, they stand at the center of the circle at the night. And then one of us, we all lay hands on them and pray for them. So this last Saturday, my 3-year-old Anderson, it was his birthday. So he's running around like his pants are on fire. You know, the kid can't sit still for a second. But we finally convinced him to sit down. So he's sitting down, and my other three kids have their hands on him. And then mom and dad have our hands on him, and we're praying. And just even for Anderson, again, he's 3 years old, just growing up, seeing this is something you do. Like, it's not abnormal to have your family pray for you, not just when you're sick, but, man, it's your birthday. And so we just pray that God would protect you and watch over you and grow you this year ahead. And I think that's another thing that we can model with our volunteers is this, them seeing those types of prayer and what that looks like. I'm going all over the place.
No, I love that. No, I think that's powerful. That definitely is. Can you talk a little bit about, so moving from volunteers to the parents specifically, how can we encourage the parents? So as the children's pastor, as the student pastor, as the whatever, next gen, How can we encourage them in their prayer lives? And you touched on this a little bit at the beginning, but I would kind of like to dig in on that a little bit because, you know, we live in this fast-paced society, and a lot of times parents are going, hey, it's a win if I can come to church twice a month and the kids' clothes are on the right, like they're not inside out. So how can we encourage parents to do that
in their prayer life? I think honestly, just in doing just what you said, encouraging them to do so. For some of our parents coming through, prayer is not normal and it's not a part of their routine. And so just encouraging them, I just want to encourage you each and every night before the kids are going to bed, like as a part of their bedtime routine. Oftentimes parents have a routine of some kind. We're brushing our teeth, we're doing baths, we're doing whatever. Incorporate that into your routine. And that might seem really elementary and simple, but that's huge for mom and dad.
Right.
Like if they actually begin to do that, that's a huge win. And they may not have even considered it. Like they may not even know that that's something you can do. And then I maybe another step is just giving them something to pray for. Like it might be as simple as this week, we just want to encourage you as mom and dads to be praying for this.
Sure.
It could be school. It could be something to show and serve their friends at school. I mean, it could be something super simple, but that just helps people have an idea of like, gosh, because a lot of things I hear people say is, I don't know what to pray for. Mm. And so when it comes to their kids, it might be as simple as giving them kind of a topic and in maybe even giving them words to pray. Like they might not know the words to pray. So it might even be as simple as here's a prayer topic. If you don't know what to say, here's some words you can honestly pray. And so we just encourage you each night to pray this prayer. And so that might just be a really simple baby step. But I think the biggest piece is just encouraging them and then showing them what prayer looks like. And hopefully that's not just something in the kids area, but that's in every element of the church. Small groups are helping you learn how to pray. The pastor is helping you learn how to pray. Worship leaders, worship people are showing and modeling what it looks like to pray.
I'm just curious. This isn't one of the questions I sent you, but now you sparked something in my brain. So you're the senior guy at your church, and I'm not at my church. And so the thing that I'm curious of is how can we partner with senior pastors, lead pastors, to help, so I always say this, the lead pastor is always, every time, the most influential voice in any room he walks in his official capacity, his or her official capacity. What can we do as next gen people, as children's pastors, as student pastors, what can we do to partner with the lead pastor to begin to have these conversations as well? Because if I say it, it's one thing in an email. If the lead pastor says that, it's a totally different ballgame. So what would you like to see as a senior leader? Would you like to see your next gen people doing, partnering with you with prayer and how to encourage folks to do that?
Well, that's a great question. I'll just give an example away from myself. I would say the greatest way, and Craig Rochelle does a lot of talking about leading up. Mm-hmm. And I really think that's true. Leading really with kindness and respect and not being a bull in a china shop or coming across as a spoiled brat, you know, like really just like, man, honoring whoever it is. And so maybe it's not even directly to the senior pastor. It might be to a direct report that talks with the senior pastor.
Sure.
I think just really honoring and serving and having just a humble heart in the approach does gets you light years ahead. I mean, I just think there's something so powerful about just that kindness and humility. I think a lot of times often senior pastors don't know what's happening in the kids area. And so it might be a total unawareness of what's even happening. I didn't even know Bibles were being handed out today. I didn't even know that this was taking place in the kids area. Like, I didn't even know. Whoa, that's amazing. And so I think maybe that's even that educational piece for the pastor. And so it might even just be an invite of like, hey, would you, I know you're not preaching in 3 weeks. Would that Sunday, would you be willing to come back? And maybe a way to get into that is we just want our kids to be able to pray for you. And so would you mind coming back? Because we'd just love to have our kids pray for you as our pastor. That might be a good kind of segue to get them back there.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah,
and
I love
so,
that.
Because, I mean, am I ever going to turn down having 300 or three kids praying for me? No. Instead of just, hey, would you want to come serve or come whatever? And that might be a part of it. But maybe that plug to get them back is our kids just want to pray for you. And we don't want anything from you because it's your day off. The last thing a pastor wants to do on his day off is prepare something to speak. And so we just want you to be a part of our day. And that might be, if they don't have kids, that might be the light switch. If they do have kids, man, tap into that all day long. I can even say at Embrace Youth, we are seeing an increase of numbers and also just staffing. So it's not just what I'm about to say, but our youth is really starting to take off. I'm super excited. But in the other part of what I'm going to say is my oldest is going to be a youth next year. Mm. And so you better believe it's becoming priority
so
for this.
It,
yeah.
So as a dad, you're going, wow, I'm actually invested in this beyond what my my 9 to 5 would be, me being in charge of this.
Yes.
I'm now invested in this because, hey, when I go home, I have a person who's participating in this.
Yep. And I came to Christ as a sophomore in high school. And so I know that's a prime time. And so I've always been passionate about youth, but now there's an added, it's like, man, my son Hudson is going to be in there and I want it to be amazing. And so again, if there's a kid of the senior pastor in youth or in children's church, that's a huge segue. But if not, especially there might be your pastor might not care about kids. Like, honestly, like that's weird to say. But they honestly may not care about kids. Their own kids haven't been true kids for 30 years and they don't really care. And so, you know what I mean? And so that's maybe that opportunity of, hey, can you come back and we just want to pray for you? So just showing them. And if the kids praying for them doesn't stir their heart, maybe begin to pray for your pastor's soul. I'm just kidding.
So, I love that.
But I think that education piece, and make sure your ask is very intentional. Don't ask every single week for something, but maybe it's, hey, I like at the end of next month, we're doing this one thing in the children's ministry. Is there any chance you'd be willing to share that or speak about that? And so, you know, this is another thing. Don't make that your life jacket. Almost explain, so you know, we're doing all these other things. And so that we're not asking you to carry the load for us and get volunteers when we haven't asked one person to be a volunteer. No, we're doing all these other things, but is there any chance you'd be willing to share about this? And here's a story. And this is another thing. Here's a story of a kid life change. Like, we had this single mom come and her son has never been exposed to the Jesus and the gospel. And his life is changing, and he's actually going to get baptized at the summer party or at this baptism Sunday. So given a story even might be another idea.
I love that. I wanted to shift gears a little bit on you and begin to talk specifically in the home with parents in the home. What role should parents play in their kids' prayer lives?
I would say a huge role. I actually can think of very few things that would be a bigger role in their kids' life than their prayer life. And so more than anything, modeling it. Like, I hope my kids, and you never pray to be seen, but I hope my kids catch me praying often. Like, I hope one of the things they know about dad and their mom as well is that we pray, that we talk with the Lord. And so just that they would daily see us praying, and not just before a meal or before you go to sleep, although those are wonderful things, but conversationally throughout the day. So when we're in a walk, and I am not an expert on anything, no joke, I'm not an expert on anything. The older I get, the less I know. So take all this with a grain of salt. But I oftentimes, I'll conversationally pray truly any time of the day. And it's not unusual for my kids that we'll be walking and talking, and 2 seconds later I'll be praying. So we'll be walking. I'm eyes wide open. So it's not like I all of a sudden stop walking and I hit my knees on the middle of the sidewalk. We'll just be walking. I'll be walking with my daughter and I'll just say, God, and I'm just so thankful for Grayson because she's so special. And when you made her, wow, you just made her so perfect. And so God, I just want to thank you for Grayson because I don't know what I would do without her in my life. And oftentimes I'll pause and she'll say, amen. I mean, it's so normal to pray that I think there's something so powerful about that. Or the other day, someone asked, is so-and-so okay? Like a friend's mom was, are they okay? And I was like, gosh, they're facing some hard things. And it's probably scary for your friend and whatever. And hey, Hudson, would you want to pray really quick for their mom? God, in the back of the van, God, I just want to thank you for today. And I thank you for my friend's mommy and that she wouldn't be scared. And so just, and all of a sudden, amen. And then back to like, what are we going to eat for lunch? You know? So right. I think just those conversational prayer and them realizing that they can speak with God anywhere. In 1 Thessalonians, pray continually, pray without ceasing. And so I think there's power. I think it's 1 Thessalonians. I could be way off. But I think there's power in praying and what it looks like to pray without ceasing. So
sure. And so you kind of have a range going on in your household. So you have little people and, like you said, almost a middle schooler, I'm going to assume.
Yeah.
And so can you talk to us a little bit, how does conversations with our kids, how do these conversations, how do they level up the older they get? Because you're going to talk, I was telling you about this before we started recording, a conversation with a 5-year-old about prayer is going to be different than with a 13-year-old than with a 19-year-old. So as parents, should we be thinking of and shifting our thoughts with prayer? Does it change at all? Maybe it doesn't. I'm just curious as to what your thoughts are on this.
No, I think it definitely does change. And what's so great about our kids is oftentimes they'll change the level for us. I mean, because they'll just ask questions. And their questions will begin to get to a deeper and deeper and deeper place. And I'm even seeing that with our oldest. Questions that he would have never asked a year ago, he's now asking. Just about God, about prayer, about Jesus, about following him, about forgiving someone, about loving people and what that looks like. And so oftentimes our kids will change the level for us. And if we're not growing, what a great kind of kick in the butt to grow ourselves. You know what I mean? So it's like, okay, my fifth grader is now further down the road than I am. Okay, I need to grow. So maybe as a parent, it's like, okay, I need to dive into a deeper place when it comes to prayer. Okay, so I need to read this book. I've heard this book on prayer that I need. Richard Foster wrote a book called Celebration Discipline. Man, that's a book I needed to dig into. There's all these classic books on prayer. I need to start reading more about prayer. So I think as parents, we need to stay ahead of where our kids are and their own growth in certain areas, so that we can have those conversations. So maybe it's us asking questions. Hey buddy, are you praying like this and that? But more than that, I think them asking us questions. And the wonderful thing about kids is they're going to ask us questions, and they're also going to ask us questions we don't know the answer to. And as a parent, I just want them, as parents, to hear this: you don't need to have all the answers. And so the best answer you can give is, "Hey, buddy, I actually don't know the answer to that question, but I'm going to try to read up on it myself. I'm going to try to look into it. I'll maybe ask our pastor just what they think." And then I'll come back, but they might not even know the answer to that question. Right. And I think just that honesty is so refreshing to our kids of like, man, I can ask questions I don't know the answers to too. And so there's something kind of that, I think is wonderful in that of our kids. And hopefully it turns our kids back to Jesus, back to his word, back to his truth, to kind of search it out themselves even with our help and guidance.
Sure. I love that. So, Adam, as we're starting to wrap this thing up, What's something practical that we can do as kid influencers to partner with parents to help them with prayer this week? What's something that we can do this week to help partner with parents when it comes to prayer?
I think something powerful this week that could encourage them and also maybe challenge them is just to try – it depends on the size of your ministry that you're involved with. But if you have, let's say, 20 sets of parents that you have kids of, that you, maybe it's just taking time to send a note to all 20 parents. Or maybe the next 20 days you pray for one family a day. And you write them a note, not an email, but an actual note in the mail. Hey, I just want to let you know I prayed for you. And I prayed for your marriage. I prayed for your work. I prayed for your health. I prayed for your walk with Jesus. And it was such a blessing to do so. And I just want to thank you for entrusting the church with your kids. And also just encourage you to know that God wants to speak through you and can use you. So what that does is, first off, it's like, whoa, I got a personalized note in the mail. Wow, I haven't gotten one of those in 2 decades, you know?
Right.
And then like you modeled, like they prayed for my health and my marriage and my work. And if you know their work, say it. I pray for your bank and you as a banker. I pray for your classroom because I know you're a teacher. Like, and they're all of a sudden they're seeing like, this is what he prayed for. This is what she prayed for me. And hopefully it challenges them to begin to pray for somebody else.
Right.
So again, because I think there's something powerful about being encouraged, but in that encouragement, they're also being modeled. Like, this is what it looks like to pray for somebody. And here's some ideas of what you could pray for.
Sure. That's so powerful. So one of the things that I encourage volunteers to do is I just give them the freedom to be able to do that, and the church will pay for the stamp. And so just writing notes to parents is super, super powerful for sure. Hey, Adam, what are you learning right now in leadership, just in leadership right now?
Oh, man. Ask me every 5 seconds and I'll tell you something different. Right now, I'm learning the importance of people over tasks. Mm. So I'm a check the box, check the list type person. I'm a to-do list person. I'm an executor. Like, I love to get things done and implement things. But I'm really beginning to realize your greatest impact is born into your people. And so I need to love people well. I need to encourage people well. I need to model the things I'm hoping my team will learn well, instead of, hey, get this done, get this done, get this done.
Sure.
Another thing I'm learning is just to continue trying new things. So this in the last 6 months, I've always said one of my jobs as the lead pastor is to kill every sacred cow I find, just to find those things that were like, we make biblical that aren't biblical. They're just biblical in our minds of just because, man, we've always done VBS this way. We've always done the children's program this way. And it's like, okay, that's not anywhere in the Bible that you have to do it that way. Well, so I have always prided myself on like, yep, we constantly change. We don't whatever. Well, in the last 6 months, we've hired some of the best staff we have. And they are starting to say, hey, why don't we do it this way? Can we change that? And all of a sudden, my own sacred cows are coming out all over. Like, I'm like, woo! Like, I'm hearing cows. I'm like, oh, my goodness. I've turned into one of those people who doesn't like change. And yeah. So it's been painful. Honestly, there's been times where I'm like, I really like Bessie, my sacred cow. Like, you cannot touch her. And so, but being willing to say, God, man, everything is on the table except your word. Everything is on the table except your truth. And so if it will reach people, if it will pour into our kids, if it will better impact mom and dad, we are absolutely making that change, even if it's painful for me.
Yeah.
And so just that willingness to make changes, that willingness to put everything on the table again except God's word, Jesus, the essentials, like everything else is fair game. And that's a hard thing to learn as a leader. But I'm now, just now, seeing the fruit of that. in a wonderful, powerful way. We're going into one of the greatest seasons ever at Embrace, and it hasn't been because of me. I've kind of been the anchor on it, honestly, which is weird for me to say. I'd like to say I'm a person who's quick to adapt and whatever, but I've kind of been the anchor, and it's been a weird season, but I'm so grateful for my team that's so much stronger than I am.
Sure. Well, hey, Adam, thanks so much for talking with us today. If somebody wants to learn more from you, if they want to find the book, where can they find you at and where can they find the book?
Yeah, you can find me. The best place that I'm interactive is on Twitter and on Instagram. On Twitter, it's just Adam Weber, Weber with one B. And on Instagram, it's Adam A. Weber. You can also go to adamweber.com. The book's available pretty much anywhere from Amazon to Walmart, Target, Barnes and Noble, kind of anywhere you can find a book, you can get it there. So, no, Todd, just grateful for what you do, and thanks for pouring in to leaders and the most important thing, kids. And so just grateful for your work and thankful for this podcast.
Awesome. Well, hey, thanks, Adam.
Thank you.
What an honor it was to be able to talk with Adam. Hey, if you never want to miss another episode like that, best thing that you can do is hit the subscribe button. You can do that on Apple Podcasts. You can also do that on Google or Android Podcasts as well. Hit the subscribe button. You will get notifications, or you will even just be able to go in yourself and see all of these episodes. There's an archive there. You can catch everything. It's all in your podcast player. Or if you're like me, you have a third-party app, which I use, called Overcast. Whatever you choose to do, you're not going to want to miss episodes of the Herding Cats podcast. And so go ahead, hit the subscribe button. While you're at it, while you're thinking of it, if you wouldn't mind, I would also love it if you would leave a rating and write a review. Truly, it is the way that Apple Podcasts, as well as Google and Android Podcasts, it's how they rank. It's how they bump things up in the rankings. And it really does actually help podcasts to be able to be more visible and to be able to get the coveted new and noteworthy tag placed on them. And so, hey, if you would be willing, if I've brought you value, I would love it if you would leave a rating, write a review. It would be super helpful. Well, hey, I absolutely love being able to bring these conversations to you. And this next conversation that you're going to get to hear is from Adam Duckworth, who wrote the book along with Sue Miller called Not Normal Volunteers, or The 7 Traits of Not Normal Volunteers, or whatever. He wrote both. Along with Sue Miller, they wrote both of them. Adam is an unbelievable guest, and I can't wait to share that with you. You can listen to that right now because all of these podcasts have been grouped together, and they are already on, and you can check that out right now. Hey, until next time, keep learning, keep growing. Deuces, y'all.
Thank you for listening to the Herding Cats podcast. We hope you tune in next time.